Hey, welcome to this edition of the Gonzo Chronicles. I'm your host, Cyrus Alderwood. Thanks for tuning back into this episode. It's been about 2 weeks, and damn, it's been a long time. I can't believe I waited so long to do another one, but hey, I've been out of town. I got excuses. I had stuff to do. So back with this episode, we're going to talk all things hair metal. And thanks to Rob, Rock You Like a Hurricane Mahoney, who came back onto this episode. You're a hair metal fanatic, aren't you, Rob?
Yes, I am. I am a hairband through and through.
Yeah, you even set up a page on Facebook, right? Hairband Haven?
I have a group and a page. I have Hair Metal Haven, which is my group. And I have Father Mahoney's House of Hair on as a like page.
Okay, those are kind of growing, man. There's a lot of interest in that Hair Metal Haven.
It's starting to grow a little bit more. It kind of halted for a while, but the interest in hair metal is actually starting to make a comeback now. So I'm starting to get more people joining again. And so,
hey, what was your first concert, hair metal concert, you remember back in the day?
Motley Crue.
Which tour?
It was the Girls, Girls, Girls tour.
Ah, oh, man, you caught the good one. Okay.
Yeah, and opening for them, I can't even remember who opened for them. I don't think they had an opener. No, I don't think they had. Wait a minute. No, I think they did a solo tour, and I think it was like a local band, but I can't remember who the local band was.
Was that your first ever concert, Motley Crue?
Oh, wait a minute. No, my second one was Bon Jovi with the group Keel. You remember Keel?
Vaguely.
Yeah. They Somebody's Waiting.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Oh, what was that? Your first concert or just first hair band concert?
Well, that was my first hair band concert. My first actual concert. I won tickets from a radio station to go see the Beastie Boys. So.
Yeah,
I mean, technically, they have some hair, you know, they have like that rocking rap aspect. So I guess it was kind of like a first introduction to rock rap.
I think a lot of people during that era tried to emulate that. Even Prince did with some of his songs, even though, yeah. but Prince covered everything. He was like funk, pop, dance, hip hop. I like all of them. He mixed it all.
I can never hate on Prince because Prince is a self-taught musician. I mean, he taught himself something like 30 instruments. I mean,
that guy's he is a genius. Like, he is a musical genius, no doubt. My first concert, don't laugh. I went to see Huey Lewis and the News, and I love Huey Lewis too. The Robert Cray Band, the blues band, they opened up for Huey Lewis. But I'd never seen a concert before, and then all these horns come out. It was when they had the album 4, and Jacob's Ladder, that song had just dropped on MTV a week or two prior to me going to see him. And I was really excited. But that was the only, I guess, where I went with, I would go with my sister and her now husband, but they would go to every concert in Johnson City, Tennessee that they could afford tickets to. So everything after that was all like rock and roll, hard rock, you know, hair metal.
Well, what's funny is the first three albums I ever owned was Cool in the Gang, the album that had Fresh.
Exciting. Dead. Yeah.
The second album I ever owned was Huey Lewis and the News, Sports.
That was it was one of the better albums of the 80s, in my opinion, like just all genres kind of thrown in together. You know,
Dire Straits was the third one.
Oh, that's a... Yeah, that was a great band, too. That was a really great band. You know, one of the things I think kids today miss out on is one of my favorite things is I would go buy a tape, right? Or when CDs come out, I go buy the CDs. But when you go out and get a cassette tape, you knew what the hits were because the album just came out. They had a hit probably, you know, leading up to this album being released. But it was all the B tracks, everything on the B side. Like, I would get Poison's Open Up and Say Ah, and I couldn't wait to hear what was on the B-side.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with the B-side. So even Prince has some great stuff on his B-side stuff that he didn't even have on the album.
Did you know that he actually had released a double cassette or double disc of called the B-sides?
Yes. I remember that.
I'd never heard half of those songs when I bought that and listened to it.
Well, now that he's gone, the record company is releasing some of the stuff that he actually wrote originally and ended up selling to other artists. Like, yeah, there's a video online of him doing Manic Monday by the Bengals.
Well, yeah, he wrote that. He wrote that for him. And he wrote Nothing Compares to You for Sinead O'Connor.
Yep.
So he wrote a lot of really big hits, just the lyrics, and people don't even know it.
He wrote some of Morris Day songs, too. So there's him doing Jungle Love online.
No kidding. Wow. That's cool. I read somewhere, and I may be wrong. If I'm wrong, let me know, that at one point when the Billboard Top 10 on pop music, you know, was out, that either Prince was on it or had written 5 of the top 10 hits in one week.
I believe that's true, but I can't say for sure.
Seems like I've read it. It was it was an exorbitant amount. I'm like, wow, that guy just like dominated. He dominated music.
I know that year when they had the Grammy Awards, I think he beat out Michael Jackson for most awards that year.
Yeah.
It was Thriller versus Purple Rain. And I believe Purple Rain actually came out with more awards than Thriller did, which, that started their little rivalry, I think.
And in hindsight, those are like two of the best albums literally of the last 50 freaking years.
Yes, agreed.
I would have to throw both of them easily in the top 10 of albums in the last 50 years.
I totally agree on that one.
So, but we're here for some hair metal. Hey, but I'm gonna veer off topic of music here just for a second, because you know I'm a nerd and I read a lot, and I was watching something on TV that struck my attention, Rob, and I wanted to talk to you today about tits.
Okay.
So we're gonna talk tits for a couple of minutes. I hope nobody minds. So I'm watching this documentary, and I didn't know that, but there's this little bird out west called the titmouse, and I thought, oh, what a unique freaking name. Titmouse for a bird? Have you ever heard of this?
I have not. I've not heard about this.
Okay, so I'm the kind of guy who pulls off the side of the road when I see historical road markers to read, see what happens. So naturally, I hear about the tit on TV, and I'm going to go look up the tit on the internet. You got to be careful what you search for, because certain things are going to pop up. You got to have your safe search on for this one. But I found that there are a lot more tits in the UK than there are here. And I'm beginning to wonder, did like all tits come from Britain? You know, there's an entire family of tits. This is news to you, right?
This is news to me.
I'm gonna tell, and maybe you'll have a favorite one just by some of the names. There's the blue tit. I thought that was interesting. I live in the middle of like an energy sector where they do, you know, mine a lot of coal. There's actually one called a coal tit. Yeah. I don't know if that's comparable to the frozen frigid witch's tit. I don't know. then there's the crested tit, which kind of piqued my attention a little bit. Then there's the marsh tit, and then the willow tit. Now, this is just all in the UK.
Wow.
But there is one tit that grabbed my attention, and it was the great tit.
The great tit?
The great tit. The difference is it's a little bit more vibrant, bigger, more colorful. So I was reading about these little small birds with plain or colorful plumages, stout legs and strong feet, and triangular bills. So, yeah, I thought, hey, man, this is kind of interesting. And I kind of pegged you for a tit guy, so I thought I'd just ask if you've heard of these things.
I will have to look up these tits.
Yeah, like I said, safe search on. You don't want your kids in the room, anything like that. You know, you want to, you know, make sure the parental unit, people are not around to watch this. But
definitely an interesting name.
So if you're at home, Google the great tit, the bird.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're gonna get the bird. You're gonna get some interesting things. All right, let's get back to hair metal. Now, the one thing I wanted to ask you, like, I put together, we're going to do a top 20 list of the best hair metal bands, in our opinion.
Okay.
And, man, there's some I kicked off of there because they were big during that era, but I don't really think of them as hair metal.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I kicked off a few, I kicked off the Scorpions, because Scorpions had so many different levels that they weren't just exclusively hair. Like, they had the hair, and they were during that time. But to me, I don't think they're hair metal.
Well, Klaus Baney didn't have hair. The singer. Yeah. Got his bald.
Oh, the rest of the band had hair.
They had a lot of hair. But, you know, they were actually one of my favorite bands of all time. I don't know if they know that, but that's that band up there is like, if I had to look, have a handful of bands.
When I finally got to see them in 2002, I didn't live it down for like a year. I would talk about that all the time, finally getting to see the Scorpions.
Did they not have a really great live sound?
They do. They have an amazing live sound.
They were, I remember when I would listen to the CD, and then I went to see them in Knoxville, and they had two bands opening up for them. Great White was one of them. And I'm trying to think who the other one was, but I was just amazed at how crisp and clear they sounded compared to listening to the CD on the way there. Like, they didn't miss a beat; they were flawless.
When I saw them, Great White was there, and also Night Ranger.
Oh wow! Okay,
I'm a big Night Ranger fan too, so.
I never got a chance to see Night Ranger, but they're really good. I like them.
But also, I don't count them as hair metal either because they were more of a rock sound. Like
yeah.
That. Yeah. They had the hair.
Yeah.
Once again, they had the hair, but... And the like hair... Kiss is another group that, like, a lot of people in the 80s considered them hair metal. But to me, they'll always be... Just one of the greatest rock and roll bands ever.
Yeah, I didn't have Kiss on this list either because they're kind of on a plateau all their own. And another one that I didn't include, Rob, was Ozzy Osbourne had a ton of hits back in the 80s, but that guy was a front man for Black Sabbath. He was also one of those people that was on a plateau all their own that I didn't want to put on this list.
I agree with that. I didn't have Ozzy either.
Okay. So they...
I'm going to shock you with some of mine. I have a lot of the basic guys, but I do have a few that are going to be ranked higher than maybe some other people have them, but that's because I enjoyed them more.
Yeah, I mean, mine were, you know, it's very personal. Like, the one I have at number one, I don't think anybody else would probably have it number one, but that's okay. I mean, we're, you know, it's all subjective. Yeah. It's your own opinion. And if you're listening to the show, go to... Hair Metal Haven on Facebook, and if you want, when we're done, Rob, I'll put the link up to the show there, and let us know what we miss, who we missed, who you'd put on the list that maybe we didn't, or if you wanted, who you'd have at number one, and or drop me an email and let me know. We'll read your emails out loud on the next podcast. Hey, with that, Rob, let's go ahead and kick off number 20. Who did you have on your list?
Okay, so number 20 I had...
All right. Oh, man, that's a great band.
Yes. I had Europe because Europe kicked down some boundaries, you know, for hair metal, because at that time, hair metal was kind of always overlooked. And when the Final Countdown came out, it kind of just broke down that barrier where, hey, these guys, you know, these guys can play. And like to different, I mean, talking about other people who don't really listen to hair metal, and it opened the door for people to start exploring hair metal. And I think their contribution to hair metal deserved them to be at least on the top 20.
You know, the thing that sticks out for me about Europe is it really kind of up the game for a lot of hair metal bands. I know they hate that phrase hair metal, and I'll rant about that here in a minute, in a little bit, but a lot of bands did anyway, but that's just what we know him as. But his singing, I mean, that guy had a range. That guy pretty much gave other singers of bands an excuse not just to be drinking on stage and having fun, you know, and not having a good sound, that guy had some range. And you could put him in any other kind of band, and he would flourish, I think, too.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, they had some other great hits, Rock Tonight, Carrie.
Yeah.
Superstition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of people just know them for that one song, but, I mean, for anyone listening who, I mean, if you're listening, you obviously know who Europe is, but if you don't, just explore their catalog, because, like Cyrus said, that they... That guy had an incredible voice range, and I kind of miss hearing that often, you know. I miss the 80s sound.
Yeah, I do too, and I wish we would hear more of it in today's music, but it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just a bygone era, I don't know. But, you know, that's, speaking of range, and also one thing before I forget is that, you know, a lot of people may have only heard two or three songs by Europe here in America. But like the Scorpions, let's not forget, these guys were huge in Europe, no pun intended. But so, I mean, they had album after album that cranked out good stuff over there that we might not have heard here on our radio. Yeah. So later on, if you bootleg or get any bootlegs, you kind of get an opportunity to hear what some of these great tunes are that we miss out on here. But speaking of having great range with a voice, I think you know where I'm going with this one, man. But Sebastian Bach and Skid Row, I had come in at 20.
Nice. I've always been a big Sebastian Bach fan. I know a lot of people don't like his attitude, but to me, I think his attitude was justified because he just wanted to be the best. And, I mean, I don't think that's asking too much is to always get the best out of every song, every album, every tour. So, So even today, I just heard him list in like 2019 performance, and the guy still has that amazing vocals. It's crazy.
Yeah, they had their original album come out, and Youth Gone Wild was their first hit. And I saw them open up for Aerosmith in Roanoke, Virginia, and they were great on stage too. Actually, I caught Snake Sabo's guitar pick, not on purpose. He flicked it out in the crowd, and it happened to hit me right between the eyes. And I just held my hand out, and it fell in my hand. Like, I have no idea. I'm in the dark watching the show, and I'm like, "What?" It's always hocking loogie on my head. What happened? But it was a guitar pick. And I thought, man, that's pretty cool.
Ninja skills.
Ninja skills in the dark. But no, that was but they were really great, and I think it was ballsy after the first album that was so popular that when they brought out Slave to the Grind, man, it was nothing like that first album.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
Slave to the Grind was pure. If there's ever a definition of hair metal, that's it. That was pure metal with a lot of hair.
Man, I mean, they upped their game on that. When they got angry on that album, they were, you know, it was just very raw. It was good stuff. A lot harder than the first one. I think record companies would say, hey, give us a repeat of this so we know we got hits. And they were like, all right, here's Slave to the Grind. Deal with that. And that was, I thought it was a great album.
If you want to listen to great singing, listen to Quicksand Jesus.
I was about to say, that's a great song.
Yes, it is. I mean, that just shows the vocal range that guy has.
Now, at 19, I toss in the band Kix.
Oh, I love Kix. I'm a huge Kix fan.
One of the regrets, I never saw them live. So the only time I see them live is on YouTube.
I wish I got to see them, but great party band. Always full of energy. Steve Whiteman, incredible frontman. He's an incredible frontman.
Don't they play a festival every year called Rocklahoma?
Yes, they do Rocklahoma because I believe that's around their like neck of the woods, so they're always up there.
Oh, because I had no idea where they were from. But, you know, that song Girl Money, and then Don't Close Your Eyes, one of the best power ballads ever.
Oh, can I tell you my Don't Close Your Eyes story?
Yeah.
So, when I was a lot younger, I was, you know, like we were talking about before the show about depression. And I actually wanted to commit suicide at one point. And I had the pills in my hand, and I was, before I did anything, I heard the song Don't Close Your Eyes. And that song hit me so hard. It was almost like the lyrics was saying don't close your eyes, but I'm sure there was another meaning. But to me, it was like, don't do this, Rob.
Yeah.
And so to this day, like I'm even getting a little misty right now. Even to this day, that song has a lot of meaning to me.
Yeah, I think it probably did for a lot of people. And there were so many power. We could do like top 10 power ballads sometime too. But that was just such a great song from the 80s that, you know, reminded you. I mean, I don't know, these power ballads, some of them actually had real hard meaning to people, and it was really great. I'm glad that they stopped all, like, you know, they had to have like four rocking hits every album and one power ballad every album.
Yeah,
and that was.
And Cold Blood was my favorite song though.
Yeah, that was a big hit on MTV. Well, who came in at 19 for you?
Number 19 was Winger.
Wow. Okay. Put Winger on there. But
that's one of my surprises, because Winger didn't really have a long career. I think they only had like three albums. But I thought Kip Winger was a really good front man. I don't think vocally wise he was great, but man, he commanded that stage. I got to see Winger with Lita Ford and can't think of the other band offhand right now. Oh, Bullet Boys.
Yeah. Okay.
And he was so incredible. Like, he just mastered that stage. Like, it was like almost like, for girls, I know girls, you know, they can't take their eyes off that guy. I mean, he had that masculinity that I guess every guy wish they could look like so they could get the girls.
Which is probably why a lot of guys weren't really into Winger, but you know, but that's okay. But I mean, they were good.
And then they also got the popularity from the Beavis and Butthead show with Stewart.
Yeah,
always supporting his Winger shirt.
That was funny. You know, actually, I saw Winger live too, and that was another band I was so surprised at how smooth they sounded live.
Yes,
they were probably one of the better sounding bands out of the 80s.
I mean, like 17 and
Madeline.
Can't Get Off, Madeline. Headed for a Heartbreak.
That was a really good song too.
Yeah, another great power ballad. If we're talking power ballads, so. But yeah, that was my number 19. So.
Who come in next for you?
Number 18, the one that opened, was Lita Ford.
Ah, great choice.
I put Lita Ford there. I mean, I followed both Lita and Joan Jett from the Runaway days. And I didn't put Joan Jett in my list just because I think Joan Jett went more the hard rock and roll avenue. But Lita had that great lock of hair. She personified hair. And Close My Eyes Forever with Ozzy Osbourne, a fantastic ballad. You don't think of Ozzy in power ballads, but man, they killed that song. And then Kiss Me Deadly.
Shot of Poison was a really good one.
Yep. So, I mean, I had to put her in. I had to have some ladies represent here.
Oh, I know, yeah, no doubt. That's a great one to pick. And, hey, Lita, if you're listening, call me. Gemini. she was amazing. She was amazing.
Yeah.
And I would see her come on.
Great guitarist, too.
I'm sorry?
Great guitarist, too.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
a lot of people forget that she's a guitarist.
She was
her Runaway day, she was terrific.
She would come on. Remember that metal show with Eddie Trunk and Jim Florentine? Yes. And Michael Jameson? I forget his first name.
I knew what you're talking about.
But yeah, she would come on there pretty regular, and I would always enjoy that show when she would come on.
Yes,
and they would do a TMS top five.
Trunk show was really good, entertaining for us hair metal people.
Yeah, and then I guess VH1 Classic, I guess MTV got rid of that. And leave it up to MTV to kill rock and roll like they did in the 80s. After that era was over. My God, I hate MTV.
They killed music videos altogether, too.
Oh, yeah, and thanks, MTV, for giving us reality TV that we still can't get rid of to this day. That damn, what was that show they had where they moved all these people in together and from different places and had them live together?
Well, was that the something house? Yeah, I can't remember. I'm not really the most knowledgeable person on reality shows. Was it called I can't.
I'll think of it.
Road Rules? Was it Road Rules?
No, it was. I remember the first show. They had some little country bumpkin kid who was 18 playing country music from Kentucky, and had him paired there with a guy who does hard news today, who was like, I don't know, he's kind of half militant and argumentative all the time, than a punk rock guy who was a journalist in music, and it was just, I don't know, weird mix, man. But nonetheless, I hated the show. I mean, back then when you're a kid and you watch it, it's like, why did they do that? Now every channel has reality TV, and I just want to be, I want to escape reality. But I'll get off of that kick. I'll tell you.
Number 18,
Pete? Huh?
What was your number 18?
My 18, speaking of ladies, I have to represent Doro Pesh, the queen of metal, with her band, yes. Warlock.
I left Doro off the list, but she's my favorite female musician. But I left her off the list because I thought maybe she was just too hard for hair metal. Obviously, she has a great lock of hair, but to me, she's the queen of metal. So when you say just pure metal, I had to leave her off the hair band list. But I love Doro.
When I put her on there, I was thinking of that video "All We Are" by Warlock, yeah. And that was so. That was like so much what that music was. I mean, it was great. 18, I had Whitesnake.
Oh, I thought you had Doro.
At 17, I had Whitesnake. I'm sorry.
Whitesnake is a great one.
Yeah. Now, if we were just talking David Coverdale and going back to Deep Purple, no way that goes on the list. But, man, he really haired it up, and they make-upped it up during that era with Whitesnake. But it's great music. I mean, it was really just every song was a hit.
You just reminded me who opened for Motley Crue now. When I saw Motley Crue, it was Whitesnake.
No kidding. Okay.
So, yeah, well, when I saw Whitesnake, I knew that they were already an established band. But they when Still in the Night came out, they really skyrocketed. And, you know, they had the trilogy of videos with Tawny Katane there.
Oh, Tawny
Katane. And I think that also, like, you know, springboarded them to bigger heights, because I remember listening to, I believe it was Here I Go Again, back in 1982, they had a version of Here I Go Again, and it sounds more like just like classic rock to me. And then when they redid it in 87, they added that sleaze, that metal sound.
Yeah.
And it sounds, yeah, if you never heard the original version, look it up. It's still a great song. It just doesn't have that, like, that hair metal kick.
Well, I haven't heard it, so I'm going to go look it up after the show.
Yeah.
And Tawny Katane spread across the hood of a Jaguar. If that's not a hit, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that woman was absolutely beautiful. All right, who did you have at 16?
17. I had Firehouse.
Wow, don't treat me bad, Firehouse, huh?
Love of a Lifetime. I think they have probably the best sound for power ballads. They have Love of a Lifetime. They have When I Look in Your Eyes.
Yeah, it seems like
I Live My Life for You. They're a pure power ballad band, but they can rock out too.
Yeah, I was about to say, it seems like their power ballads were so much better. It's like, did they have an album where they had like three or four power ballads on one album, which is kind of uncommon?
Yeah, it is. But back then, like you said, the formula was you had a rocking song, then you had the one power ballad. But I think Firehouse decided to go a different route because their power ballads sound so good that they decided to put a few of them. I think it was like three or maybe even four that were on that first album. And, it works because I still listen to the songs today, and they sound just as fresh today as they did then.
I saw them open for somebody, and I can't remember who it was. But nonetheless, great, great band. Who do you have next?
Number 16, I had Quiet Riot.
Oh, good choice.
They're another group, kind of like Europe, that when they came around, they kind of broke down the walls, especially on MTV. MTV wasn't playing a lot of, like, hair metal back then, and when Quiet Riot came out with Come On Feel the Noise, even though it's a remake, they had a couple of songs that were remake. Mama, We're All Crazy Now.
Yeah, Slade. Yeah.
But they made it work because of, you know, Kevin Dubrow. Talk about a powerful frontman.
Yeah.
That guy had great vocals and great stage presence. And I think that's what they had a short career, but man, did they leave that mark? Especially when Metal Health came out. To this day, I can still rock out Metal Health like it just got released last week.
Oh yeah,
and so
it's just fun music. I mean, it's a good time to listen to it. It's just the whole anything they do. I had at 16. I had Motley Crue. You'd think they would be much lower on that list. And they probably should be, but man, they kind of pissed me off. So I spent a lot of good money to go see them. And, you know, when you're a kid, man, $20 for a ticket back then was, when you're a kid, you're not delivering pizzas for a job. That's some money. So, you know, two tickets, you take you and your girl, you go have some food, you buy a couple of t-shirts, you spend $100. And back then, that was a bunch of money for us, you know, back then. And then they played, I think, like 9 songs. The power blew. And then by the time they got the power, the sound system back working, they played like 4 songs. And then, hey, we're out of here. We got to catch a plane. See ya. And I thought, well, that's a shitty way to do a concert. I didn't hold it against them. However, the next month when I bought Hit Parader magazine, apparently people had complained about that in like 15 different cities. That I guess they were pushing the envelope with their volume, even when people locally at those arenas are saying don't, you'll screw the system up. They're like, do it anyway. And that was a way of getting out of playing live and like half-assing it.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know how true that is, but that's what I read Hit Parader, and I'm like, damn it.
What tour was that again?
I'm sorry?
What tour was that?
That was on the Dr. Feelgood tour.
I missed that tour, so.
I guess
it's a good thing I missed that tour.
Yeah, and you know, and I love Motley Crue. Actually, I just went on a quick trip, and I busted out CDs in the car, and I got the Motley Crue 1 and 2, like greatest hits compilation album CD. So I'm jamming out to Motley Crue still to this day. But listen to them on their CDs, their albums, and then when you listen to them live, they weren't the most crisp sound. You know, it was.
Girls, they did still sound good, but I just watched a video of, I think it was like right before the pandemic, I think they started their tour, and man, Vince let his voice go.
Well, I guess at some point, if you're a rocker, too much booze, too many drugs, it takes a toll, you know, and God bless them, man, they had a great life, they pumped out a lot of great music that defined my childhood, my growing up years, but anyway, they make a top 20, so damn, that can't be too bad, right?
No, not at all.
Who did you have next?
Did you do your 16?
That was Motley, yeah.
Number 15, I had Slaughter.
Wow, good band. Okay, I didn't see that one coming, but good band.
Yeah, Slaughter was a break-off of the Vinnie Vincent Invasion. Mark Slaughter and a couple of the members used to play with Vinnie Vincent.
That's right.
And they basically kicked Vinnie out of his own band.
I didn't know that part.
And they basically all said, like, if you're still in the band, we're not. So they kind of, Vinnie was always a very rebellious, said, I'm not going anywhere. So they all left. And they all formed their own band, Slaughter.
So, that's funny. I just shared a Vinnie Vincent video the other day on the hair metal Facebook page.
Yeah, actually, I saw your post on Vinnie. I have nothing but love of Vinnie Vincent. But Slaughter. I mean, Up All Night, Spend My Life. I mean, they just had a plethora of great radio songs, great sing along songs. and that guy Mark Slaughter has an incredible vocal range.
He does. It's another guy with a great range. Yeah.
Yeah.
And for Vinnie Vincent, man, it's one thing to get kicked out of Kiss. You get kicked out of your own band. He might be an asshole. I don't know. He might be a great guy. I have no idea. I'm not saying either way, but Like I said, it's one thing to get kicked out of KISS. It's another thing when they kick you out of your own band.
Yeah. Who do you have at 15?
I have Rat.
Good one.
And not just because of that Geico commercial either.
No.
That was another one of my favorite bands of the 80s that I never got a chance to see.
How did you get to see Rat?
But Dancing Undercover was one of my favorite albums of the 80s. And then Invasion of Your Privacy was introduced me to Rat, was Invasion of Your Privacy. And then I went back to listen to Out of the Cellar and some of these other older albums.
Invasion of Your Privacy I have probably in my top five hair metal albums of all time. So I hold that in high regard, that album.
Now, 14, Scorpions.
Oh, nice. That's a good choice.
I know you said you kind of left them off there, but one of my favorite bands of all time, Wind of Change, speaking of power ballads.
Oh, yeah.
Claus had
we talk about vocal ranges, but that guy, that song alone just shows you his vocal range.
Yeah, and you know, another thing about him, as soon as you hear him start to sing, you know who you're hearing. Yeah. You know, you don't make, like, there were so many, like, hair bands that came out that were, like, I don't say wannabes, they were good, but you know, their favorite bands were the other bands we listened to, and they all just sort of sounded the same, you know? And
another song is Still Loving You.
That's Still a great one. Yeah. But
amazing.
They had a lot of songs that you wouldn't think hair metal. Big City Nights was one.
Yeah.
Holiday was a really good song.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, when they think of Scorpions, they think of that song Rhythm of Love, that, you know, that big hit in the 80s, and Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Yeah, we both had it at the same time.
Those are two of their big defining hits. But, you know, those are, as great as those songs are for Scorpions, they're nowhere near, like, my favorite Scorpions songs, even though they're great songs.
Yeah.
But Scorpions just have such a... And they're still cranking out tunes to this day, man. If you haven't listened...
My favorite Scorpions song is The Zoo.
Exactly. That's one of mine, too. I'd like top two or three, easy. But yeah, they crank out a lot of good stuff. Tease Me, Please Me, remember that one from trying to think of the name of that album, but they had so many albums. And I was so thrilled to see them.
The video.
Yeah.
I remember that girl. Yeah, I remember the girl from the video.
You cannot forget that video if you see it. That is forever etched in my mind. Now, who do you have in next?
Number 14, I have LA Guns.
Nice, very good choice.
Now, I was struggling to put them in this because, to me, they're like a lot of sleaze metal, which is a different genre, but they started out as hair metal, so I put them in as, you know, Never Enough, I Want to Be Your Man, Sex Action. I mean, these are terrific, and Tracy Guns may not have the great vocal range, but he has a very strong and powerful voice, and he definitely is a great front man.
Do you remember the LA Vampires album?
Yes.
That was probably my favorite album by them. That was after they had all the big hits like Ballad of Jane and all that.
Yeah.
That and Electric Gypsy was a kick-ass Electric song. Gypsy, that was early on.
It's a kick-ass song. That's a cool video. That video reminds me of something like Judas Priest would do. Like on their motorcycles and...
Yeah.
Exactly.
Who do you have in next?
Number 13, I had Twisted Sister.
Oh, you can't go wrong with them.
Yeah, so Twisted Sister is kind of like a Quiet Riot where, you know, they helped hair metal along with their airplay on MTV. And, the videos were hilarious. To this day, I can still watch those videos and still, like, crack up laughing.
Yeah, they took Niedermeyer from the movie Animal House and brought him into the videos. And and you're right, they were fun, they were entertaining, and all the music was fun. And Dee Snider was also really in Widowmaker.
Great musicians, they really are great musicians. They just get overlooked a lot because of their wildness and their personas.
Now, I will always remember Dee Snider for this, because when the PMRC was coming down to try to rank these albums and then blame suicides on heavy metal music and everything like this back in the day, they tried to call in all these musicians, and a lot of them wouldn't go because the record companies didn't want them hurting the album sales. The one guy who took up the heavy metal, hard rock banner was Dee Snider, marched into Congress and sat there and testified. And I thought, you know, like nobody else had a pair of balls with that guy.
And he basically put them in their place, too.
Yeah, he really did.
Do you remember who his ally was? It wasn't even a rocker.
I'm trying to think.
John Denver.
That's right.
Yeah, John Denver went in with Dee Snider. Like, talk about complete opposites.
Yeah.
But John Denver was actually sticking up for the music industry, too.
That's pretty amazing, though. Those two that nothing in common, and yet there they are kind of standing up for music in general to, you know, and that's pretty good stuff, man. But, you know, Dee Snider, he hosts a show, I think it's on Wednesday nights, called House of Hair.
Yep.
So it's like you might want to check your local radio station if you're listening.
That's where I stole the name from on my like page. Follow my own House of Hair.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. I didn't even think about that. Now, my next two, we've already covered, so we'll kind of just like glance over them. But Quiet Riot, I had at 13. And Lita Ford. We've already talked some Lita. So I had a couple ladies on the list, you know, holding the fort down for them. I'll jump in and with number 11 here, too, and then we'll jump back over to your list. Number 11, I have Poison. That's like the ultimate party band of the 80s.
Yep. I'll be talking about them later.
yeah, good. And I'll save some of the stuff I'm going to say. But, you know, I saw those guys 5 times. They're not bad live. They sound pretty good live, but they're not great, you know. But if you walk out of there and you don't have a smile on your face, something damn's wrong with you.
Exactly. I was going to say the same thing. That they're not the greatest live band, but they're a fun live band.
Oh yeah, if you don't have a good time at a Poison show, it's not them, it's you. You just don't have fun.
Yeah.
All right. So, who's on your list? Let's get to your next one.
Number 12 was Warrants.
Nice.
So I think Janie Lane is probably the most underrated singer of the late 80s, early 90s.
He was a very good front man.
Rest in peace, Janie.
It was 9 years ago this week.
Yeah, and then I actually just became friends with Jerry Dixon, so that was kind of cool.
No kidding.
So I invited him to the Here Metal Haven group, so hopefully he accepts. But I think they... Talk about a band that had some fun songs too. Cherry Pie. If you don't have fun listening to Cherry Pie, and if you're a guy, if you don't have fun watching Cherry Pie, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Down Boys was the first song I ever heard from them, and I was instantly hooked by Down Boys. And then Heaven, one of the greatest power ballads of our generation.
You know. They backed up the next power ballad off the same album with Sometimes She Cries, and I thought the same thing. Two amazing power ballads.
Yeah, once again, another group that defied and said, we're going to put more than one on there. And it worked, I mean. And then they had the Cherry Pie follow-up, and the Cherry Pie album is terrific.
Uncle Tom's Cabin was off of that.
Yeah, and that showed that they could actually rock out too, because that song is pretty like hard rock.
You know what album that they did? It was very underrated, and I really love that album. It's Dog Eat Dog that came out after that.
Bobby's a great album. It's a fantastic album.
Yeah, I had the bitter. Was it the Bitter Pill? Was that on there?
Yeah, the Bitter Pill was a very very strong, powerful song.
Yeah, I mean, I can listen to those guys all day. It'll be cool if Jerry Dixon.
Hole in the Wall was a good one, too.
That was a very good. Machine Gun?
Machine Gun. Machine Gun.
I used to love to drive around and crank that up in the car before I blew my speakers. And this old Grand Am that I drove back then. But I loved that song.
Now, I give them props for trying to remake Queen. But We Will Rock You is one of those songs that just cannot be remade.
Yeah, just nobody should try to imitate Queen. That's just...
I give them props for trying, though.
Yeah, Queen you can't put as a hair band, even though they had a bunch of hits in the 80s. But, nobody... I just... some bands you shouldn't try to remake. Like, don't try to do Lemmy and Motorhead.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't do Queen. But hey, you know what? Somebody's got to give it a try. Yeah.
My number 11 is Kix. We talked about them already. I love Kix. I'm not going to go too much into it because we already talked about it. But Steve Whiteman, terrific front man. Great songs, great party band. I would have loved to see Poison and Kix in one concert.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. So, who do you have at your number 10?
Two or three you've already done that I'll skip down to one we haven't yet. 10, I had Warrant. 9, I had Twisted Sister. 8, I had L.A. Guns.
Oh, wow.
So, I'm going to jump down to the one we haven't had yet, and then we'll jump back over to your list. Tesla. That I kind of struggled with whether I wanted to have Tesla as a hair band, but that Mechanical Resonance album has to be one of the top albums of the 80s.
Yes.
And they had some songs that were very reminiscent of hair. They didn't have to slap the makeup on. You know, they had the long hair, but and they did kind of have that look, but they were just good.
Heaven's Trail on the Way Out.
Yeah, that was... Actually, I've got that CD signed by those guys.
Nice.
Yeah.
And another one who's an incredible singer.
Yeah, Jeff Keith.
Especially if you listen to Love Song. Love Song, and what's the other song they had? It was a power ballad. I wrote some notes, but I can't even read it. Anyway, we'll get back to that. Love Song is it's a power ballad.
Their remake of Signs was awesome when MTV was doing MTV Unplugged. And that's a band that could play everything unplugged and still sound just as good.
Yep.
And
they could do the unplugged, they could do the power ballad, they could do the rockin' stuff. So.
Yeah, one of my favorite songs, I've seen Tesla 3 times, and I love every time, like just when the lights go out and coming at you live, comes blaring, you know, that guitar riff as they come out and start with that show. Start that with their show. Loved them. Again, one of the best live acts I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Let's jump back to your list here. What you got?
So, number 10, I have Cinderella.
Excellent.
Cinderella, kind of a creation of Bon Jovi, if you know the story.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi walked into a bar and saw Tom Kiefer up on stage and just, I guess he said he was just mesmerized by Tom Kiefer. And Kiefer has such a great vocal range, but his vocal range is different from other people because he can do that like soulful sound. He can do that rock sound. I mean, you throw him on any kind of music and he's going to sound great.
He's a blues singer in a rock and roll band.
Yeah, exactly. I remember when Long Cold Winter came out, and I was like totally blown away because it was nothing like Night Songs. Night Songs was that 80s hard rock hair metal sound. When Long Cold Winter came out, it had that like bluesy gypsy road sound, and I was totally blown away by their range, like how they could go right from like metal to like blues rock.
Heavy blues is what it was. Yeah, it really was. The Bad Seamstress Blues, Falling Apart at the Seams song.
Yeah.
And I've seen Cinderella like 4 or 5 times too. Another amazingly great live band.
Yeah, I saw them twice. So
like out of every single time I've seen them, I've never seen them have an off night. They were just always on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So number 9, we already talked about them. So Rat. Once again, not because of the Geico commercial, but I grew up on that era where like I loved the sleaze sound of like Motley Crue meets Rat and LA Guns. So like to me, Rat was just right up my alley. So that's why I have them at number 9. And I also got to see Stephen Piercy live once by himself. So
that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Number 8. I think. Did we talk about? Yeah, we talked about Skid Row already. So yeah, Skid Row is number 8. We already talked a bunch about Sebastian Bach, so I'm not gonna rehash that. Number 7, we just talked about it. Tesla.
All right.
So kind of honestly, did you have him at 7 too?
I did.
So, wow, look at that. We finally matched one.
Great minds, buddy. Now, let's see if our number 6 is match. I had Def Leppard at number 6.
Nope, but they're up there somewhere.
Well, we're getting close there. But I enjoyed Def Leppard. Of course, my first experience with them was Photograph. You know, that video of Marilyn Manson clips, or Marilyn Monroe clips. I thought, what a fun song. And then I heard Foolin', and I went back and listened to the whole Pyromania album. But when they came back with Hysteria, which was very different than Pyromania, still rocked, man. It was still really good. And they've cranked out nothing but good stuff since.
And I have nothing but love for them for keeping the drummer on. You know, after his accident.
Yeah, guy lost an arm.
Yeah, a lot of bands would have just said, you know, hey, we're just going to have to replace you, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? They just said, no, we're not a band unless you're here. And I that's mad props. That's mad props.
They stayed gone they stayed gone long enough that, you know, you think people have forgotten about them. But when they came back, that Hysteria album was just so damn good.
And they're still rocking today.
Yeah. Now, you know, On Through the Night was one of their earlier albums. I always really enjoyed that one.
Yes.
And that song, Tear It Down, I don't know what album that was off of. But that is one of those that always stuck out in my head. It's like, what a fun song to listen to when you're driving down the road.
And talk about heavy power ballads, bringing on the heartbreak.
Yeah. Love Bites.
Yeah, Love Bites, another great song. Hysteria is a great song. So
yeah, I see some Def Leppard going up on the hair metal page later on.
Yeah, number 6 for me, Dokken.
Nice.
Yes, I love John Dokken. I love George Lynch. I know they're still playing today, but I don't think Lynch is playing with them anymore. But John Dokken, what a vocal range he has. And if you don't believe anybody that doesn't believe me, listeners, go listen to Heaven Sent.
I was about to say that's my favorite song by those guys.
Heaven Sent is fantastic, and it rocks out too. But it's more of like a, I don't want to say a power ballad, but it's definitely like a meaningful, soulful song. And George Lynch's guitar solos are second to none.
Yeah, the riff in that is very bluesy too. So it almost, like when you say soulful, like you can see a little touch of the blues in that song.
Yeah, I do.
Good choice, man. Dokken. Great band. And any band that's good enough to do a Nightmare on Elm Street song, jab me all day long.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Love that, too.
Anyone that can scare Freddy at in his own nightmare.
Yeah. All right, who else you got? Well, who's next?
Number 5, Whitesnake. So we already talked about Whitesnake. I just think they were an overall band. That's all I'm going to really add to this. Not only do they have great vocals, they got a great drummer, great guitarist. No matter whoever their guitarist was, because they switched up guitarists a lot.
Yeah.
But anytime they, like, whether it was Vandenberg or whether it was John Sykes or whether it was Steve Vai, yeah. I mean, they always had that. They always clicked. So
how damn lucky is David Lee Roth to have Eddie Van Halen play and then have Steve Vai in his band?
I mean, he's lucky. And then also, you think about it, Rudy Sarzo was in the band too.
That's right.
Sarzo was in Quiet Riot.
That's right.
So what a career that guy had.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't you like to be a fly on the wall to hear some of those stories from the road?
So that's all I got to add to the Whitesnake. Who do you have at 4?
Number 5, I had Great White.
Oh, yeah, number 5, Great White. Oh, great, great bands. I left them off, but they're on my honorable mentions.
Okay. Now, the next band, I wanted to ask you this question, too. Like, is this kind of segues into the next band and something I was going to bring up, like, on the side of this? Because we were talking earlier about that metal show. Right, and loving that show. When you went to concerts, did you buy T-shirts at every one of these?
Yes.
Now, I was in high school, and when I went, I would buy T-shirts too. But I had to be careful because I didn't do my own laundry in high school. I had to wait, you know, Mom had to wash this stuff. And I didn't want to get in trouble. But I had a couple of friends. Like, I had a rule. When I would go to a concert, if it was a school night, I had to get up and go to school the next day. A couple of my friends found a way out of that. So they would buy a T-shirt and wear it the next day that was sort of offensive, and they would be sent home. Right? Yeah, so
I got suspended for one of my T-shirts.
Oh, my God. Do I want to know which one?
Guns N' Roses.
The Guns N' F'n Roses on it?
Yeah, no, it had a hooker with her panties down.
Oh, my God, I remember that T-shirt.
Yeah, I went to school with that, and I think it said like $1.39 or something. She was holding a size of $1.39.
That's how one of the guys I knew got sent home. But here's what he did after we went to a show, and number four is Faster Pussycat for me. Love Faster Pussycat. He went and got a Faster Pussycat shirt, but he had a jacket on. So what you could see when you would read it go in the middle of his chest, it said Fast Pussy. So by third period, they sent him home. So he's like, you go home, change shirts, and come back. He's like, I'm going home, but I'm coming back. So he goes home and goes to sleep. Of course, his dad didn't give a shit.
I'm standing up for him, Metal.
But Faster Pussycat was one of my favorite bands of that whole era. From everything from The Bathroom Wall and Don't You Change That Song to, you know, the... now I'm drawing a blank on the name of the album, but it's the one I had Where There's a Whip, There's a Way, and Poison Ivy, and all that. And then, of course, one of the best power ballads of all time come out by Faster Pussycat, too. Why am I drawing a blank on that one all of a sudden? Anyway, I'll think if you think of the name of it.
Wrong, I'm drawing a blank on it too, but.
But you know the one I'm talking about, singing about his dad never being home.
No, that's a ballad of Jane.
But well, anyway, I want to kind of segue over to this because Tamey Down was one of the co-owners, I guess, of the Cat House back in the day.
Yeah.
And the other co-owner was the guy who hosted Headbangers Ball, one of my favorite shows ever, Ricky Rackman.
Ricky Rackman, yeah.
Now, there's no... I swear to God, I wish they would bring this show back. Somebody. Like, if it's not the Headbangers Ball, something some other channel should do. And let it play old stuff and new stuff, because people need to hear the new music. But I wanted to kind of toss this out here, because I follow Ricky Rackman on Twitter. And he seems like actually a cool dude you'd want to be friends with or hang out with. And he has his own podcast called The Cat House. And he talks about, like, stories from back in the day. And it's really, really fun. But he does this thing right now where he does a charitable thing. And it's called Ricky's Ride. And he actually, him and his girlfriend, they get on their motorcycles and ride around country, the entire country, raising money for a charity. And it's a different one every year. And this year they're doing, their goal is to raise $20,000 for the Alzheimer's Association. And like all the money they raise goes toward the charity. So he's riding along with Leah Vendetta. So if anybody's on Twitter, go follow Ricky Rackman and go follow what they're doing with Ricky's Ride. And even during the pandemic, they decided they were going to go out and do this because it's, you know, all for charity. So, man, kudos to that guy. And who knows if he'll – I don't know. Maybe he don't give a shit I mention it on here or not. But it's a great – this is a great charity because we've all probably known somebody that's touched by Alzheimer's. And I think in the past, there's done things for suicide prevention and things like that. So a really solid cat. I'd buy him a beer but he's sober. Max Clay's sober now. But it's the kind of guy you can like have a beer with, you know, and just BS and let's do on the road. So, but he's good friends with the guys from Faster Pussycat.
Well, Ricky Rackman was a breath of fresh air when he took over Headbangers Ball from what's that guy's name?
Adam Curry.
Adam Curry, what a poser.
Yeah.
I mean, he acted, he tried to act the part, but he got it. Yeah, he could definitely tell he was not one of us.
And then after Ricky Rackman was gone, Matt Pinfield took over. Again, probably a nice dude, but it just didn't fit. Like, Headbanger's Ball was Ricky Rackman.
It was.
Yeah. Number three, I had Dokken. We've already done that, so let's jump back to you.
So number three, let me find my list. Number three, Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a lot of people don't take me for a Bon Jovi guy, but I got to give credit where credit's due. And I'm going to tell a quick story so that every one of your listeners can laugh at me now.
Let's do it.
I was a huge, back in the early 80s, I was a huge Quiet Riot, Motley Crue fan. And my sister was like, hey, come check out this band, Bon Jovi. So I'm listening to Runaway. And I'm like, good song. But I was like, they're gonna be gone in 2 years. They're going to be a flash in the pan. And those are my exact words, flash in the pan. Well, Bon Jovi is still rocking out today.
In 2020, they're still around.
Yeah. So, I still have her to, look at me every time a Bon Jovi song comes on. And I'm like, I know. I got to give that credit. I mean, man, did they break down the billboards as far as record sales? And when Slippery When Wet came out, I've never seen such a hair craze. Everybody wanted to be a hair band person. Everybody. And girls, of course, loved John Bon Jovi. Me, I was a Richie Sambora guy, but I thought Richie Sambora was a very underrated guitarist. Terrific, very bluesy. But once again, they had an overall band. Everybody in that band knew their role, and they played it well. So yeah. I got to give them the credit. Number three.
Yeah, I guess they, if it weren't for them, I mean, they pulled a lot of people over that normally only listen to the pop charts over to see what the pop metal, I guess, for some, lack of a better way of saying it, was doing. Who'd you have at number two?
Bad Medicine is one of my favorite songs from them. And that's such a fun video. That was like one of the first videos I ever saw where they let the fans control the cameras.
Yeah, that was a cool. It was actually a cool gimmick for a video.
And of course, they like great Sam Kinison's in the video too.
You want to see those that are listening, if you want to see a really cool video of Bon Jovi, go to YouTube and search up that Moscow Music Festival. Yes, Wanted Dead or Alive.
I watched the Moscow Peace Festival on pay-per-view.
Yeah, the Wanted Dead or Alive, I love that version over there that they do.
Yeah.
It is incredible. Who'd you have at number two?
Number two, we talked about them already, Poison. I have them very high. I've seen them 10 times now.
Wow. So, yeah. Impressive.
Once again, I'm not going to rehash, but great party band. Someone they get fun with, and CC DeVille. I think CC DeVille is a top 10 guitarist. A lot of people will fight me on that one, but if you listen to his guitar solos, and if you listen to him do his, his guitar solo riff, I mean, he's just absolutely incredible. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, just as individual band members, not only were they a good band, but it's like, they almost kind of had that Kiss vibe, and the fact that all of them were their own character in a way. Ricky Rocket, Bobby Dahl, CC DeVille.
I agree.
Yeah. They should have had their own cartoon.
Who do you have it to?
I had Guns N' Roses. Gritty ass dirt band, just gritty band. I love them, though. I don't know if some may not consider them hair metal, but. Man, they were right in there with Welcome to the Jungle. Remember that hair spiked up for Axl Rose in that video? It's like, that's the only time I've ever seen his hair poofed up. But they did it once, but it worked, man. But what a great band.
I had them on my honorable mention. And the reason I left them off the top 20 is it's kind of like they came and then they disappeared. And I always held it against Axl because... I saw Guns N' Roses with Metallica and the stadium tour, and three quarters of the way through Metallica, they flip-flop every night, either Metallica opened or Guns N' Roses opened. On our particular night, it was Metallica. Three quarters through the set, James Hetfield comes on the microphone and says, well, it looks like we're playing a little bit longer today. Axl's running late, as usual. So... they end up playing this incredible, almost hour. They were supposed to play an hour and 15 minutes, and they play an hour and 45 minutes. And felt so bad for Guns N' Roses following that.
Yeah, why would anybody follow Metallica? Jesus.
Yeah. It was one of the best performances I've ever seen, and Guns N' Roses really tried, but man, they should never have made that deal about Metallica going on first sometimes, because they got buried.
See, that's another band I never got to see from the 80s was GNR, but I'm almost glad I didn't, because I don't have that memory. It's like they're not that good live.
I had their better performance. I saw them twice. The first time I saw them, they opened for Aerosmith, and this is right when they just released. They had just released Welcome to the Jungle. I don't even think the album was out yet. I think it was just being released, Appetite for Destruction, and that was a fantastic show. You can actually find that show online. They have it's like a nightclub show that they do, Guns N' Roses. Just look up Live 1987, and it's a fantastic. You actually can see how dominant Axl Rose is as a performer. But yeah, I only had them as honorable mention just because I felt like they cheated the system. Like they didn't. They came and said, "Hey, here we are," and then they took their bag and ran. So
yeah, for that flash of time, they were like the biggest thing in the world.
Yes, they were. You want to? Honorable mentions?
My number one, though, Cinderella. Actually, I had Cinderella at number one. My favorite band of the 80s. Night songs, absolutely, from that genre of music, my favorite one.
What's your favorite song from Night Songs?
Shake Me is going to be up there. And then, of course, Night Songs.
Night Songs and Nobody's Fool.
That was really, that was just such a powerful album. You buy these CDs and there's like eight good songs. A couple you can go, I don't know. But there wasn't a clunker on that album. Like, not one.
You know what's a good, it doesn't get much, that album, but Once Around the Ride.
Yeah, that was, I'm trying to, there's a song on there and I can't remember, I'm drawing a blank. So let me pull it up here, and I'm going to find the one song that, Somebody Save Me. No, that's not it. I mean, that was a great song. Like, everything on there was great. And now the internet's slow. Go figure. I remember seeing them for the first time. They opened up for,
Poison? I know what you're talking about. Nothing for Nothing.
That may be it. Nothing for Nothing.
Nothing for Nothing.
So here's the list.
I'm away from you.
Hell on Wheels, In From the Outside.
Yeah.
And then Push Push. Push Push was great.
There's not a weak song on that album.
No, not at all. I mean, a lot of these albums, these bands are talking about, it's hard to find one. It's hard to find a weak song on a lot of these. Honorable mentions, though, I did have Trickster and Badlands, if you remember them.
Oh, I love Badlands.
Jake E. Lee. So that was,
I didn't have them on my honorable. I didn't love them enough to have them on my honorable mentions, but Dreams in the Dark is a great song.
Yeah, I remember when I got to see them open for Aerosmith. And Johnson City, and the very day I was in high school, I went down to stay with my sister at her. She was in college, and when I went down there, we would always watch that dial-in TV to see what was number one, and then we were going over to stand in line to get in. And it debuted, "Dreams in the Dark" debuted, or no, "Winter's Call" by Badlands debuted at number one. It just got released, and I'm like, damn, I get to see those guys tonight. They're number one in the country. Cool.
Wow. So I had five honorable mentions. I'm going to run down them quickly, just talk about them for like a second. Striper.
Yeah.
Striper was a great Christian metal band, and they surprised me about a couple years ago. They did a remake of Black Sabbath song, Heaven and Hell. I was so surprised to hear the Christian band doing an evil song, man.
That's amazing. But they, you know, they were really good. They had a lot of good range. The singer had good range. The band was like incredibly talented. They really were.
My second one was White Lion.
Yeah, that would mention them too. Yeah.
Mike Tramp, another one with the incredible vocals. When the Children Cry, Tell Me, Wait. So, here's a sleaze rock band, Jackal.
Love them, yeah.
What a fun band they were.
Yeah, the only guy plays a chainsaw on an album.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when I heard the Lumberjack song, I'm just sitting there going, wow. And there's actually a chainsaw guitar solo in there. With
wow. I know.
I thought that was so ingenious, and I got to see them live once, and it was so fun to see them live.
Did you have to wear goggles?
Huh?
Did you have to wear goggles? Were they chopping wood?
No. I was way in the back. I was far away. And then my last honorable mention was Brittany Fox.
That was another great band. I saw them a couple times, too. They were really good.
Yeah, I saw them. A lot of people call Cinderella knockoffs.
Actually, I don't know if this is true or not, but was the singer Brittany Fox the original singer of Cinderella, and they got rid of him and put Tom Kiefer in?
I don't think so. I heard that rumor too, but I believe his name was Dizzy Dean Davidson.
That's right.
Yeah, and Dizzy Dean, he only was on like the first two albums, I believe. And someone told me they have like four or five albums, and I'm like, I only heard the first two, but
well, they had Brittany Fox had two albums that I know of. I'll bring this up about Dizzy Dean Davidson. I always liked him as a singer. Because he kind of was like kind of wild with Brittany Fox. But he was in another band after that. And I don't know if you've heard of these guys, but they were called Black Eyed Susan. Do you remember them?
Yeah.
Now, they were going to put an album out. Then I guess the band broke up. And then I got a bootleg copy somewhere. I don't know where, but I got it. And I listened to that album. And it's like, damn, that is some really, really good stuff. And then this movie called Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man came out.
Marlboro Man.
And the song that's played at the end of the ending scene, that's Black Eyed Susan. That's Dizzy Dean Davidson, Black Eyed Susan. And you can go on YouTube and actually listen to all those songs now if you just type in Black Eyed Susan band. House of Pain, that's the song we were trying to remember from Faster Pussycat.
Yeah.
So, but no, I love talking about this era of music, and I know a lot of these bands, they hate that phrase hair metal because they don't want to be defined by hair, but that's just what people call it, man. If you don't like it, sorry, but hopefully this podcast will get around and some of those guys will listen to it. Cause you know, we're really paying tribute to an era and some really great music that, like it or not, defined a lot of who we are in this generation.
Well, I forgot I had one more honorable mention. I put it on the backside by accident, was Dangerous Toys.
Yeah. Teasing, pleasing. Yeah. That was great. And that song Scared that they did that video.
Yeah. Terrific. I got to see them on, it was called the Invasion of Rock and Roll Tour. It was the year that the, when Bin Laden, it wasn't the 9/11. It was when they first attacked years before that.
Oh, the World Trade Center.
The Iraqi War. Remember the Iraqi War?
Yeah, the first one. Yeah.
It's like a 91, I believe.
Yeah.
So they had a big tour with Judas Priest, Motorhead, Alice Cooper, Metal Church, and on the back bill was Dangerous Toys. And so, yeah, when I got to see Dangerous Toys, they just their whole show just blew me away how much energy they had, and that they had a lot of aggression, but they also had like a party vibe too. And so I instantly went out and bought an album, and I was totally blown away. And then I find out that they had like three albums before that, but no one ever heard of them. So like I just started like pounding up on Dangerous Toys, and they only had like two successful albums. It was that one, and then they had the follow up. They had Give Me No Lip and Line Them Up and Knock 'Em Down. That one, but another one that kind of like just made their presence felt right away, and I still listen to them to this day. So you already did your number one, right?
Yeah, Cinderella.
So my number one, and I'm pretty sure you know where I'm going with this since I haven't mentioned them yet. Motley Crue.
I was going to say, let me guess, Motley Crue. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not surprising. Motley Crue,
for a lot of reasons. They're the first metal band I kind of like, saw in concert. They're the first metal band I've seen, hair metal band I've seen on MTV when I saw Livewire. Livewire, just that video just still blows me away today. Like, they made it with only like a couple $100 and
Nikki Sixx lit himself on fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they have so much power. And that song, like, if you listen to it on headphones, that song has so much power that they were almost like a metal band at that point.
Yeah. You know, anytime you hear, like, the very beginning of a Motley Crue song, the way Mick Mars plays guitar, dude, you know that's Motley Crue immediately.
Yeah.
And even Mick Mars, it's something new and you never heard.
He's probably the most underappreciated guitarist there is.
Did you get to see the documentary The Dirt?
No, I haven't got to see it yet, but everybody tells me I have to see it.
That is a must-see.
Is it on Netflix?
It is on Netflix.
Okay, so I'm borrowing a friend's Netflix account right now, so I will have to watch it.
Yeah, definitely go make that your next watch. Also, there's I like to find those documentaries on there with musicians. Duff McKagan has a really good story he tells on there about his life and his music, and he actually tells it through the music he does on stage. And then they'll go back to clips of his life.
VH1 used to have a show called Behind the Music.
Yep.
And that they had some good. They had the story of Poison. They had the story of Motley Crue on there. And someone told me they don't like show all the footage, but you know you get the point across of like what these guys went through. Like the story on Rat was crazy. They thought Steven Piercy said how they were like basically all sharing like a one-room apartment, and all these other bands that were friends of theirs were getting discovered, and they're sitting like, what about us? Like, all their other friends are getting discovered.
Yeah.
They used to room with Motley Crue, and then Motley Crue got discovered, and then another one got discovered, and all of a sudden, they're just sitting there like, you know, we've sent in hundreds and hundreds of cassettes to people, and they keep just getting rejected.
And they were one of the best bands.
Look at now, they're making Geico commercials.
Hey man, Rob, this has been fun, man. I love talking about this great music in that era. So let's come back on again soon, buddy, and let's do something else like this. Before I close, just to remind everybody about Ricky's Ride. I look up Ricky's Ride on internet or on Twitter. He may have a link to a website you can go to. But like I said, the raising for the goal is $20,000 for Alzheimer's Association. So either donate through Ricky's Ride or go to the Alzheimer's Association. $5, $10, you know, $5, you pay that going through Starbucks. So let's
definitely share the link.
Absolutely, buddy. I'll share that link on I'll do it on the Hair Metal Haven and let people know about Ricky's Ride there, and I'll do it again on Twitter. So yeah, buddy, think of another cool topic of this era. We'll definitely come back and do this again. This is fun. I've got to do some catching up on podcasts because it's been like a month almost since I've done one because I just got caught up in life. But my goal is to do one a week, so I got some catching up to do.
All right, man.
So, all right, buddy. So, everybody, thanks again for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe to the Gonzo Chronicles on Apple iTunes, or we're now on Spotify. You can check out the Gonzo Chronicles on Facebook. Rob, they can find Hair Metal Haven on Facebook and also Father Mahoney's House of Hair.
Yep.
Right. So come on the social media. Let us know who we missed. What picks do we have that were good? What pick do we have that sucked? You know, I mean, what do you think?
Bang Tango.
Bang Tango. Oh, that was a great band too, man. Junkyard. Do you remember Junkyard? I love that band. But anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll see you on down the road, buddy. Thanks again, Rob.
Later.
Later.